What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, just the 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Linz.
Thanks, Adano. All right, so I didn't know this until today that the 39th Los Angeles Marathon is going to be this weekend. It's Sunday, March 17th, sponsored by ASICS. It kicks off at the starting line at Dodger Stadium, and the finish line is in Century City. Participants will end their 26.2-mile experience, and 40% of which are first-time marathon runners, at the finish line on Santa Monica Boulevard at Avenue of the Stars. So there's going to be numerous freeway ramps and street closures to be aware of both on Saturday and Sunday along the marathon route. Motorists should anticipate delays, plan ahead, and choose alternate routes. So I'm not going to go through the entire list, but basically, if you're planning on going to downtown, through downtown, or Santa Monica, like, you know, you might want to go online and check to see what's closed because traffic's going to be bad.
Now, we
as
have
opposed
some guys,
to when traffic is regularly bad, it's just going to be extra bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lucky me, I'm moving, so it's like, oh, great.
But we have some folks at 710 that are participating in the marathon this weekend.
We do?
Right? Yeah.
Probably Cates.
Well, Mark Cates. I think Carlo is running
Carlo too, yeah.
the marathon.
Usually does.
And Beto talked a big game, and then I think he got hurt.
I saw him run like a 5K or a 10K not too long ago, I feel like.
Yeah, but I think Beto said that his body wasn't holding up for him. I don't remember exactly what the problem was. He tried to sucker me into doing it with him, and I was just like, you know what, man? Not this year. This is not the time for me to be doing that. Just, I couldn't commit to the time to train.
It takes...
No, and you do.
Yeah,
you need
like
the legit
3-4 months, right?
Well, yeah, because like, for example, if you're going to run the marathon...
26.2.
So if you're going to run a 26.2 marathon and you're going to do it this upcoming weekend, that means that probably like a week and a half ago, you probably finished your training and your final run to train is probably about a 22-mile run, which, you know, again, think about it. If you're just an average runner and you're running, call it an 11-minute or a 10-minute mile, I mean, that's gonna take you a long time. And so, you know, now you've done all the training. You started with 2 miles. You got to 4. You got to 8. You got to 12. You finally decided to run a half marathon. Maybe you ran a couple of half marathons. Then you started to extend it out, 14, 16, 18. Now you're into the 20-mile range. And your body's getting beat up, you know? And now you're like, oh, my God, I get to taper for the next, like, 10 days. And now you're just going out and you're taking, like, little 3-, 4-, 5-mile jogs. Man, I'm telling you, 26 miles, that is no joke.
Yeah.
No joke.
When you did the Ironman, was that, you did a full marathon or is it a half?
No, it's a full marathon. So you do a 2.4-mile swim with a 112-mile bike ride, and then you run a marathon.
Right.
And when I put on my running shoes that day, I was like, you know, I've never really run a full marathon before. I've run a couple of halves, and I've done all my training. I think my longest training run was like, I don't know, 18 or 20 miles, whatever it was. Right. But I was like, I've never really run a marathon before, and I'm going out to try it now.
You want to know what's crazy? Mm. This guy I used to work with in Cleveland, he was the sports director at the local like Fox affiliate. He, in his 70s, like 2 years before he retired, he did all the marathons. He was like John Chin. He was doing all the marathons. But he was in his 70s, and he did this thing called the Burning River 100-mile ultra marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in just over 29 hours.
Oh,
like,
wow,
he didn't even hit 30 hours.
Yeah,
100 miles
badass.
In 30 hours. That's insane.
I know,
that is pretty
incredible.
Insane.
I know. I've got a buddy of mine.
So how fast was that if he's doing that?
In 29 hours, 100 miles. You're doing 100 miles and 29. You have to try and do the math. Yes.
I'm really bad at math. Let me get my calculator on my phone.
It's probably going to be, if I had to take a guess, it's going to come out to about a 13 or 14-minute mile, something like that.
Yeah, that was more what I was, that's what I was thinking about, the mile.
I have a buddy of mine. You guys, you'll love this. I have a buddy of mine. I've told you a story that this buddy of mine every year wakes up on his birthday and he goes out and he runs his age. So this past year he ran 49 miles and he does it early. He probably leaves his house at like 3:30 in the morning and he's done by 9 o'clock in the morning. And this guy nonstop. One year, these buddies of mine decided they were going to try and raise money for the Naval SEAL Special Warfare Foundation. Oh, so they had 6 people swimming from Santa Barbara all the way down to Point Loma. So, I mean, they're going to go from Santa Barbara, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and they're going to reach down in South San Diego. And this buddy of mine was like, well, you know what? While you guys swim it, I'll run it. My man ran the 250 miles by himself from Santa Barbara down to San Diego. That's the sort of crazy ultra marathoner this guy is. He won the Badwater Ultra Marathon, George, which means that you're running through the Badwater Desert in like 130 degree temperatures. The people who can do ultra marathon, I mean, marathoning is amazing, but ultra marathoners, there's just something in the wiring of those people that most mere mortals, we just don't get.
I couldn't do it, man. I got to be honest with you. Like, it's just not.
Ultra marathons, dude.
Yeah. That's just nuts to me.
Anybody know who David Goggins is? You guys know Goggins?
Yes. Yeah. He's on Joe Rogan all the time.
Yeah. So David Goggins, this guy is like amazing because he was a Navy SEAL and he doesn't meet any of the profile of a Navy SEAL. Nothing, not race, not size, not sporting background. I mean, nothing about him is Navy SEAL. And he defeated all the odds to become a Navy SEAL. And then what happened is, George, you remember the movie? It was about Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor. Remember that movie? Did you ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
When he found out that that group of Navy SEALs were missing and then they were under attack and then, you know, four of the five of those guys died. He decided he was going to do something, and he became an ultra marathoner to raise money and awareness for, you know, SEAL Foundation type stuff. And he has become a monster superstar through all of his crazy endurance stuff. I'm telling you, man, these guys are just wired totally differently, man. You think my feet are disgusting? You should see these ultra marathon guys' feet.
Freaking
disgusting.
They look more like Shaq's, you're saying?
Oh, horrible, man. Yeah. Goggins' feet are just all destroyed.
Yeah.
But yours are worse?
No, mine's not worse. No. It's just my right foot. My left foot could be a model. My right foot is disgusting.
And you can be a right foot model is what you're saying?
No, I'm a left foot model.
Oh, left foot, sorry.
Yeah, my right foot is all gross. It's crusty and gross.
Right.
And then, you know, the big toenail keeps falling off.
Oh.
You know?
Cappy, you a freak, man.
You are a freak.
Straight up for real, homeboy.
Cappy, coming up next, Dennis Schroeder fires back at D'Angelo Russell. You ready for this?
I am ready.
Oh, man, we've got it for you. Stick around, 710 ESPN.
Great show. I always had this thing, though, for Joyce DeWitt. Everybody loves Suzanne Summers, you know, the busty blonde.
She's the brunette with the short hair, yeah.
But I'm telling you.
RIP Suzanne Summers, by the way.
Say again?
I said RIP.
RIP is right.
Yes,
but I'm telling you, there was something about Joyce DeWitt that did it for me. I don't know why.
Well, there you go, Cappy.
I think probably, if I'm being honest, like, in my mind as a teenager, I was like, I have a better chance with her than I do with the other one, you know? Like, I just thought everybody was going after Suzanne Summers. If I put my time and effort into Joyce DeWitt, I could get with her.
But,
you know?
Cappy.
What?
You love what your body looks like naked. You
That's
are
true.
Confident and beautiful. So right. You could get anybody, including Suzanne Summers, back in the day.
Well, yeah, I mean, now I know that more so than ever before. Because, you know, now most guys are too much of a wimp to even walk up to hot chicks. You know what I mean? Me, I don't care. I'll talk to anybody.
We know.
Well, we know that.
Yeah. DeAndre, you should come out with me one night. I'll show you some moves, man.
Is that right?
Yeah.
DeAndre's spoken for, man. He don't need no moves, man.
No, he's spoken for now.
Will you stop?
Well, he's a young fella.
What are you going to do? Take him out to the Bad Bunny concert tonight?
Oh, I would love to go to Bad Bunny tonight.
That would be a good time, Cap.
Yeah,
I'd
love to go to Bad Bunny. I was jealous last night. I was sitting at home, and I was on Instagram last night, and I saw Jacob and Ronnie decided to go live on Instagram. And I'm like, what's Jacob doing going live on Instagram? What's he doing, like a Q&A or something? No, he was at Bad Bunny last night.
Walling out?
I don't know what he was doing, but I think he might have even had the 710 suite. I don't even know.
I could hear it. Because I'm not fully moved out of my apartment yet, and I'm right across the street, basically. I could hear it. They went till pretty late in the night. Like, I can hear it. It was so loud. You always hear concerts over there.
Boy, but I should have gone to Bad Bunny tonight.
He was here for three nights. You had three chances to go.
I should have gone to him.
Why didn't you go?
I don't know why. I sometimes these things just get by me, you know? Like, I don't know. I didn't even know he was there, to be honest.
You need a personal assistant,
Kat.
Yeah.
Desperately. I just hired one.
You did?
Yeah, in the Philippines.
Are you being serious?
Wait,
totally
what?
Serious. I swear to you guys. I swear to you guys I did.
Wait, this is breaking news. Hang on.
You hired an assistant. Okay. Hold that for a second. Let's get back to that.
Oh, no. You're saying this now. You need to tell us about this now.
I mean,
this
is not going to be a short story. We only have 4 minutes.
Go ahead. Let's go to Schroeder. Let's go to Schroeder and
we only
and
have
D'Angelo
four
Russell.
Minutes, and this is definitely not going to be a short story.
And I'll
story.
Tell you about my Filipino personal assistant.
Okay. So... the other day, Cappy, yesterday, we were talking about the Dave McMiniman story about how D'Angelo was basically lambasting the organization.
Lambasting.
Why are you laughing?
I love that word.
It's what he did, didn't
I he? Love lambasting.
He did. Did he not lambaste?
I mean, yeah, but when you think about lambasting, you have to like think about a big hunk of meat and then you got to baste it. Like, it's funny to me.
Like lamb basting?
Right.
No, not
what
that.
What is wrong with you?
That's what it is.
Lambasting means to like go at somebody pretty hard. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
But like, it's just a phrase. It's but right. like, you know, it's yeah. really about like, anyway. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, he lambasted the organization. No one supported him during the trade deadline, but he even talked about last year how he didn't feel like he had the confidence or the trust of the head coach, Darvin Ham, because of his previous relationship with Dennis Schroeder. He said he knew he didn't have a shot, basically. So the New York Post went to Schroeder, and he said, quote, "I don't understand it, but at the end of the day, it shows off immaturity. You're not really mature if you're just keeping somebody's name in his mouth and just running it. I don't understand." He's not wrong.
No, but just I love the way he said it. I just love the way if you're keeping somebody's name in his mouth and just running it, I don't understand that. It just reminds me of when Will Smith told Chris Rock, "Keep my wife's name out your mouth."
Right. But I mean, Dennis is not wrong.
No, D'Angelo Russell, there was no reason for D'Angelo Russell to say what he said. You know,
I mean, now, good for Dave, by the way, that he right, got it. But
right,
yeah, you know,
right. Like Dave McMiniman might be listening this afternoon because, as we know, everybody is. Dave McMiniman's listening this afternoon going, "Guys, give me a little bit of credit. I got him to say something that has gone viral." Yeah. Great job.
No. Great. And it was a good story. Like, it was a good read.
Great job.
But D'Angelo shouldn't have said that.
Right.
Stuff.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell, you would think that at this stage of his career, that as much media as he's been around, I mean, he hasn't been stuck in Orlando his entire career.
Right.
You know, this is L.A. There's writers and reporters and media everywhere, all over everything you do. You don't know, like, what the smart thing is to say, and maybe sometimes when it's time to zip it, just like a little bit?
No, clearly he doesn't.
Un poquito.
It's not the first time, especially, like, not this season, not ever. He just doesn't care.
Well, then I guess, then here's the thing. When he was not doing well, when he was not playing well, we were all annoyed by the talk. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you start putting up a 44-point type game when LeBron's not available. You're, like, feeling yourself a little bit. Like, I'll say what I want to say. And what I want to say is that, hey, you know what? I had a problem with this coach last year. Couldn't even talk to the guy because, you know, I couldn't trust him. He didn't trust me. And it's all because of Schroeder. It's Schroeder's fault. And now,
well,
look,
first
I'm
off,
here.
They hired him.
That's true. They did hire him. Yeah, I mean, I think Schroeder's right, George. I mean, it is an immature thing to do. Will this be impactful in any way? Does this hurt the team? Does it distract the team as you're headed down the stretch towards the last, I don't know, 14 or so games of the season, trying to make it into the postseason? Does this have any impact in the locker room?
You know, I wouldn't say no. Like, I don't think so. Because it's a mostly veteran group, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to just like completely dismiss it, like, and say that it can't have some impact.
You think LeBron's going to regulate?
I don't know if LeBron's going to regulate. I think it's more of just like that needs to be a Darvin thing. Like, yo, man, if you had these issues, like, we need to keep this between us. Like, I thought you and I have gotten to a place where, you know, we can have these conversations. You're coming to my suite, you know, at night to talk about stuff, to get stuff off your chest. We can be brutally honest with each other. Like, I didn't think we needed this necessarily. Like, so if I were Darvin, I'd have that conversation with him.
Mm-hmm. See, if I'm LeBron, I'm having that conversation too.
Well, what is he trying to accomplish by like going, making this like public news? Because he knows that if he says this, then people are going to hear it and find out. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I just don't understand what he's trying to accomplish by saying these things publicly. And there's certain things that you probably just like keep in the locker room, like bro code, you know?
I just want to say this. I don't think it was that bad. I don't think it was that inflammatory. I just think that
let's take accounting of what he said here. He said the coach didn't trust him. He said he didn't have a great relationship with the coach to begin the season either. And that the entire organization didn't support him at his most challenging time when he was in every trade rumor available.
Okay, that's kind of true, isn't it? I mean, at least, listen, That's how he felt.
Right.
And didn't most of us all think that he was going to be, or at least should have been, traded?
Yes.
Right. So I don't feel like his teammates were like, hey, man, we got your back. We want you to be here. You're an important part of our team. I don't think the organization was like, hey, don't listen to these rumors. It's not true. You know, you're a part of what we're doing. I think that for the most part, until he started playing significantly better, and this was after the in-season tournament, I think most of us thought he could have, should have, and would have been traded. Because the contract was set up in a way that was very tradable. And his performance wasn't that great. And he's right. A big mouth.
Right. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I don't think that what he's saying is not true from his perspective, but I just don't know why he's saying it.
By the way, I mean, he did, he gave them an opportunity to trade him, which says to me that he wanted to be traded.
When you say he gave them an opportunity, what do you mean?
Because the way he signed his contract, when you do a 1-1, like a 1+1 with a player option, in essence, it's a 1-year deal because it's his option to pick up. So in those cases, you have the right, based on the collective bargaining agreement in the NBA, to veto any deal. But he took the veto power out of the deal, which says to me that he probably wanted a fresh start somewhere else.
Well, it also kind of says to me...
Or at least invited the potential of it.
Yeah, but it also kind of says, hey, because they didn't move me, they needed me. And because I feel like now they needed me and I'm a critically important part of this team, now guess what? Now I'm going to let you know how I feel. Now I'm going to say some stuff.
Well, he definitely said some stuff.
Oh, he did. He did.
Yeah. And Schroeder's like not having it.
Well, I mean, Dennis Schroeder is like probably like, well, yeah, me and Darvin go back. And by the way, as I recall, I mean, Dennis Schroeder, he had some really important moments, and he was
definitely the better defender. There's no
right.
question.
Yeah.
I mean, D'Angelo was struggling on defense.
And by the way, D'Angelo should relax. I mean, when he got here, it's the middle of the season.
Right.
You know, how long do we have to create the kind of relationship we need to have? You know, I mean, listen, he is a diva.
I mean, you're a diva, Cap.
Isn't he?
Said you're a diva.
Do you think? I mean, maybe kind of a little, but
you
I
have
don't
diva
know.
Tendencies. Yes,
diva tendencies.
Tendencies.
He's just trying to be polite.
Who, me or George?
George. That's like when you tell somebody you're acting like a bleep, but you're not a beep.
No,
bleep.
I just you do have diva tendencies. So does a lot of people do.
Everyone in this business does, right? But anyway, you know.
I don't know, ma'am. All I know is this, is that when he, after the in-season tournament, went on that podcast and told everybody, this is what I am and this is how I should be used, I was like, oh, get him out of here.
How many more episodes of that podcast have dropped since then? Can we check? I have no idea. I haven't heard anything else ever come out of that podcast.
But
what
then
was
once
the name
I,
of it again?
I don't
it's
know.
It's his podcast.
The Backyard.
Backyard?
You know, I think there is another episode because I feel like I remember like seeing something about it.
Once I was saying, get him out of here, then he started playing. And I wasn't the only person saying that, but get him out of here. And then he's like, wait a second, hold on, don't get him out of here. And he's playing really, really well. And then the trade deadline was coming. It was like, you know, they should trade him. Nah, I don't think so. They need to keep him. And then they did. And then he had that 44-point game when LeBron was sitting there hanging out with Jeannie. And now he's like, okay, now I got more to say.
The last episode was a month ago. It was February 7th. and it was the AD episode. They were live from AD's backyard.
Oh, well, there you go.
I don't know. He just posted one 9 days ago, actually. He
oh, really?
Up about the All-Star break and talks about end-of-season prep.
Oh, well done.
So there's a total of six episodes.
One, two, three.
Okay, I'm gonna listen to all six of them this weekend.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The most recent one.
Yeah.
All right, Cappy, we got big, Radio Tinder next. But first, tell us about your Prize Picks. I don't know if you, well, D'Lo and the Lakers aren't playing tonight, so you can't put him in there. But who do you got in there?
No, well, I haven't made any plays yet today, although I am going to probably play some college basketball. But I'm on fire right now. I've had three straight wins on Prize Picks. So I'm taking $20 and I'm getting 3-1. And I'm winning $60, and so I've recently banked $180 in my Prize Picks account because I had James Harden yesterday on Pi Day, and all he had to do was score more than 3.14 points, but he didn't play. And yet, Prize Picks sent out a tweet to everybody and said, "Hey, we're going to honor the discount, and we're going to give you the win," because originally they had refunded my account the $20 on the play. But yet, then they filled my account with the $60. And again, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And I went to Twitter, and Prize Picks put out a tweet that said, "Hey, we're giving you the win, even though Harden didn't play." So thank you, Prize Picks. That was very generous of you guys. Today is Flex Friday, so there's all kinds of specials to be played today. And so whether you're playing basketball or maybe you're playing college hoops, I've been mixing it up a lot of basketball with hockey. And then, of course, you guys know I've become consumed with the 17-year-old dart-throwing international phenomenon that is Luke Littler. By the way, you can also play gamers, like video game competitions. You can even place, you know, plays on gamers. So it's amazing. It'll change the way you watch sports. Here's what you need to do. Download the Prize Picks app. Use my code Cappy, K-A-P-P-Y, code Cappy. They will match your first deposit 100% up to $100. So if you put in $100, they'll put in $100. You got $200. Let's play ball. So NBA, NHL, college basketball, now is the time for you to download the Prize Picks app and use my code Cappy.
Thanks, Christopher. This is also a great wrestling theme. Like, fan, one of my favorites. Big fan of the Iron Sheik. He was great on Twitter.
Number one. Iran number one. Puy USA. Iran number one.
It's a good impression there, Cap.
You want to know what I was told? That all those tweets from the Iron Sheik for all those years
were not him?
Were not really him.
That does not surprise me at all. He was pretty old.
Number one. Puy USA.
Do you remember like the old Sheik? Like the original Sheik?
No.
Oh, that was my dad's favorite wrestler. So it was back in like 60s, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. One of my favorites was Abdullah the Butcher. He was like this giant fat guy.
Oh, yeah, and he had always the thing in his drawers, and he'd pull it out, and he'd bloody you up.
It was like a fork.
Well, that was a foreign object. They never really told you what it was. It was a foreign object. It was from some other country.
Well, I remember, I know I've told the story before, but I did not like Abdullah the Butcher because I didn't think he was like a real... You know, I knew that he was like a bad guy wrestling-wise, but my dad would always tease me because when I wanted to listen to Paula Abdul, he'd be like, "Oh, Paula Abdul, Abdullah the Butcher's her dad."
And
I
was really?
I was like, "No, she's not. No, he's not dad." And he's like, "Yes, he is." And then he'd be on TV and he'd be like, "Look, that's Paula Abdul's dad." And I was like, "No, he's not dad. Stop teasing me." So I didn't like him.
I was afraid of that guy because one time my dad and I were at a wrestling match and Abdullah the Butcher pointed right at my dad and told him to come on, let's go. You and me, bring it up here, pal. Because my dad and I were yelling at him, "You fat slob, you animal." You know, like we're doing what we're supposed to do in the audience. And he told my dad to come up and get into the ring. He was going to kick my dad's ass. And I was always petrified of him. Him, Nikolai Volkov. Anybody remember Nikolai Volkov?
Yeah, him and the Iron Sheik were a great tag team.
God, I was petrified of that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I still think the Bushwhackers were the scariest.
Bushwhackers were
Bushwhackers.
They were off their rockers.
Well, they were like lunatics looking.
Right.
And they were kind of like big bellies and they wore like overalls and they had missing
shears.
Teeth. Yeah.
They come out like, oh. Yeah. I used to have dreams about that.
What do you got, Linz?
All right. So new findings from datingnews.com shows that LinkedIn, of all places, has had an unexpected role in modern dating. And it's even preferred to many dating sites. It turns out that 61% of respondents aged 35 to 40 have landed dates on LinkedIn, and that trend contributes to 50% of all respondents 20 to 40 even though, of course, the site is not at all intended for dating. Survey respondents showed that networking platforms and social media were the most popular method to meet people for a date. 52% of men and 51% of women have found a date this way. Man, I can't talk today. Do you guys think that approaching people for a date on LinkedIn is okay? Swipe left or swipe right? Cappy, you go first.
I'm going to swipe left because I feel like for me, LinkedIn is a professional environment. And I feel like making any sort of overture towards a woman for me would be seen as like really unprofessional. But yet I will admit a lot of times, like I'm using LinkedIn and I'm connected with somebody and I'm like, damn, she's hot. And I'm like, okay, remember, this is professional. this is the professional environment. This isn't Twitter. This isn't Instagram. This isn't TikTok. This isn't Facebook. It's not a dating app. It's a LinkedIn. It's professional. Come on, man. Be a pro. Stop. Yeah, I don't know. That would seem weird to me if somebody tried
agreed.
To flirt
it would
with
be,
me.
It, I would also swipe left. It would seem weird, although I guess I'm not surprised that anyone would try to shoot their shot anywhere these days, but, you know, on the internet particularly. But so I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, but I don't see it as a place that I would have guessed that would be happening.
But like even in the work environment, I'm sure it's the same for everybody in every work environment. There's like it's not the way it used to be. There, nobody's flirting in the office place anymore, right? Because any little tiny thing could be misconstrued and it could cost you your job or maybe even your career. So you got to be
for a man
careful.
Or woman for that
right.
matter. Yes.
No
yes.
doubt. Right. So I LinkedIn? Huh. All right. Seems a little weird to me.
I think it's super weird. And if anybody, I've never had that happen to me, though, not going to lie. Like, I've never had someone, although, you know, I had, like, the LinkedIn, like, pro, mm-hmm. you know, like, where it's, like, gold, whatever, and it's, like, I don't know, whatever the feature is where you can, like, see when other people see your profile and stuff. And my, like, first boyfriend ever when I was in eighth grade has looked at my profile, like, 3 times in the past, like, 6 months. And I haven't even thought of that person in at least 15 years. And I was like, really? What the hell? That's super weird. Isn't that weird?
Let me take a look at your profile here on LinkedIn. Let me take a look at you. Here she is.
I don't even have LinkedIn, so.
Let me look at Lindsay's full profile.
I just thought it was really
here.
Weird. Like, how does he even, like, you know what I mean? How does he even remember me?
I think you should change your picture.
Okay.
Well, I mean, because it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like inviting flirtation.
You think that my LinkedIn picture is inviting flirtation?
Correct.
It's the same picture that's on all the stuff here?
Right, but I think that you should be like, you should have a face on LinkedIn, like,
I'm smiling and I have a brown sweater on.
This is,
I don't.
This is
well, you
business.
Want me to frown?
Lindsay Business?
This is Lindsay Business, right. You're Lindsay Baseball elsewhere. Here, you're Lindsay Business.
I can't be friendly and be business at the same time.
I don't know. I think guys are going to hit on you here.
But they don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've never had that happen
except
to me.
Except your, like, eighth grade boyfriend checks you.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Isn't that weird? Do you guys, that's weird, right?
He probably doesn't know you could see it, which is probably pretty hilarious. Now,
by the way, I need to change my LinkedIn
listen
photo,
to the podcast.
Too. Yeah, I
think I'm the odd one out.
You don't have LinkedIn? Or
no,
what?
I have LinkedIn.
I don't have LinkedIn either, bro. Don't worry.
I have LinkedIn, but I'm not going to lie to you. At the time I was looking for internships, there was a girl I knew from college who was applying for the same one, and we ended up, you know, meeting up off of LinkedIn. And, back
so
in the time before
LinkedIn
I met my
is
girl.
Basically the new Tinder, is what
so
you're saying?
So spill the tea.
No, it was just nothing crazy happened. I mean,
nothing crazy.
Yeah, we just met up for lunch, and we just, you know, pretty much talked.
Reconnected.
About, yeah, just reconnected, talking about why we were applying for the same internship and stuff like that, and you know.
Hey, you know why? Let me tell you why.
Wait,
I'm looking
so
at DeAndre's profile. Right, I'm looking at DeAndre's profile right now on LinkedIn. You know what it says? Hashtag open to network. Hashtag open to network means let's get down and dirty.
It's basically saying DTF on your profile. No.
Right.
I haven't been on my LinkedIn profile in a minute. So
well,
I
you know what?
I gotta change that.
Right. You need to
DTN.
Change that, dog.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
DTN, down to network.
I'm down to network. Network. You know what that means, girl.
By the way, Radio Tinder's brought to you by our friends at Tequila Mandala. They're always down to network. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Demand the extraordinary and be down to network with Tequila Mandala.
Boy, I'll tell you what, DeAndre, you need to update your profile, bro.
I do.
It's why? Because he's down to network.
Not only that, but I mean, listen, he's got a big promotion. You know, now he's a big part of a monster broadcast team in LA. I mean, you got to let people know that.
What are you, like, embarrassed of us or something?
Oh no, I'm not embarrassed at all. I just got to update my stuff, man. That's all it is.
Lynn,
that's what my assistant's going to do for me.
Okay, so Ralph Lauren Fragrances has signed New York Yankees team captain Aaron Judge as the face of Polo Estee 67. I don't know what it is when they just put EST period. Estee? Established?
I don't know the story.
So it's not Eau de Toilette. That's like, you know, that's what it is. It's their cologne, you know. It's a sporty new scent, but it's Polo EST period 67, like established in 1967. But that's a dumb thing to name a cologne.
That's like DeByron, the defensive lineman.
Yeah, but it's, they named the cologne Polo EST period 67. Like, call it Polo Established. You know?
It's Polo Established in 67.
Okay, anyway, there's a million colognes.
Yeah, I think it's called just Polo 67.
But then why do they have the EST period in front of it?
I don't know, but to confuse people. I don't know.
Anyway, whatever. So this new fragrance, Estee 67, a woody citrus blend of bergamot and vetiver with a sweet pineapple accord, and it came out in stores today. You're right, number 67. Ooh. Number 67 was what it's called. And I was going to ask you guys, if you could have a signature cologne, like one that already exists, like what would you make your signature cologne?
You know, I haven't worn cologne in a really long time. It's just not like my thing. I probably stopped wearing cologne, honestly, like in college, I want to say. Because it's like, you know, I don't know. They have nice smelling soaps these days. You know what I mean? What's the need for
cologne? Soap doesn't stay on the skin, though. Just one little dash on your
Just not my thing. I'm not a cologne person. So I'm literally the wrong person to ask this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't worn cologne in a really long time either. I used to wear Polo when it was the green bottle with like the gold top.
Estee 65?
I don't know what it was, man. I've gone some Aqua Velva, okay? I went with some Pierre Cardin back in the day.
Oh, Pierre Cardin. How about some Dracar Noir?
Oh, Dracar Noir, the black bottle
was
dope.
Back in the 90s,
dope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stinks.
How about Curve by Liz Claiborne?
I still like Curve and Clearwater, right? That's what's called Clearwater?
No.
I don't know. I mean, some Old Spice all up in it, you know? But I don't really wear cologne very often. In fact, I don't even think I have cologne.
Yeah, I don't own any either.
I love perfume. But
oh, God, I hate it. Like, when a woman is wearing too much perfume.
That's what.
Cool water, yeah.
Do I wear too much perfume?
I don't ever really smell it, you know? So I guess the answer is no. Yeah. But like when some women are wearing too much perfume, like when you walk by a lady and she's got on so much perfume and then you get hit by that waft, like...
Oh, I love that, though, when it smells good. There's this lady that lives in my building, and I don't want to be a weirdo and ask her, but, like, I've encountered her on the elevator, like, walking by a couple times, and I want to be like, what perfume do you wear? It smells so good.
Her. That's no problem. That's okay.
Yeah,
I don't think that's it. That's all right.
Yeah,
but when these ladies that crop dust you with their perfume, ugh.
Yeah. Well, listen, Cappy, you know, you don't want that. You certainly don't want, you know, the water to be an issue. You know what I'm saying? We talked about the water boy yesterday. But, you know, if you're a homeowner and, you know, things are, you know, overflowing, that's a problem, too. And if the insurance company doesn't fix it, you got to call your guy. Hello.
Avner Gatt, you want to know something, George? True story.
Hello.
Yeah.
Last night, I went out to dinner with my daughter and Nick the Stick. And Nick the Stick was telling me that his family, they had a flood in their house, and that the floors in their house have been torn up, and they were concrete floors right now. They're waiting for the flooring to show up, and he was telling me that the parents were really upset because the insurance company sent or one of these, you know, companies sent like these fans to dry out the floors, and it just turned into a big mess. And I swear to you, I sent Nick the Stick last night AvnerGatt.com. I sent him Avner's website, and I said, here's the deal. You should have your mom and dad get a hold of Avner Gatt. Because when you have something like this, in this case, you know what happened? They thought somebody spilled something on the floor. And the dad came home, and he's like, I didn't spill anything on the floor. And they looked underneath the sink, and the pipe had disconnected. I don't know anything about pipes, man. But the pipe had disconnected and it was creating this whole leak. And so now the house is screwed and they are having issues with their insurance company. So he's telling me this story last night. And I'm going, listen, do me a favor, call my friend Avner Gatt, because Avner Gatt is a public insurance adjuster and he takes care of this thing. You know, you think you can negotiate with your homeowner's insurance company and you think that, hey, they've got my back because I pay them every month like I'm supposed to. And then you go to make a claim and they want to pay you, you know, 1/10 of what it's going to cost to truly fix the problem. So make it simple. Go to AvnerGatt.com, AvnerGatt, AvnerGatt.com. Because Avner Gatt, he goes to work. He takes care of it. He knows how to deal with these insurance companies. He works with these guys all the time. It's all he does. Call him. 818-917-5256. 818-917-5256. I'll slow it down for you because I know a lot of you guys have been calling him. 818-917-5256. You call Avner Gatt. He takes care of this problem.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Who's Michael then? Or is he saying I'm Michael?
No,
because I thought he meant like
Sonny.
I'm like Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
All I know is the good news is that anybody who doesn't know what when he just said that I'm Fredo, if you don't know the movie, then you don't know what that means, and that's good. I'm glad that went over your head because I disagree. I strongly disagree.
Well, I mean, Sonny gets killed. Do you want to be him?
I don't want to be Sonny.
Oh, nice.
Well, technically, so does Fredo.
Me.
Actually, so
yeah, I don't want to be Sonny. I want to be Michael.
I don't. You're a little not in the right age bracket to be Michael, though.
What are you talking about?
DeAndre can be
on
Michael.
On this show. If anything, right, DeAndre would be Michael, right?
What are you talking about? I'm the youngest guy on this show.
I mean, you're not, though.
I mean, look, I may have been born earlier than you guys, but is there anybody who acts younger than me?
I mean, DeAndre?
I mean, no. DeAndre doesn't even know cool things to say. Like, when I have to teach him cool things, like dope AF, he has no idea what I'm talking about.
Here we go.
Like, I know all the cool kid phrases.
I'm the one that's educating you, man.
What?
On the new slang.
What? Like what? Like give me an
example.
I taught
you about G-Fazos.
Okay, G-Fazos is one. G-Fazos is one.
I mean, he taught you how to talk about basketball a couple weeks ago.
Well, he don't know nothing about basketball, this kid. He don't even understand how the game is played, really. Tell you one thing right now. I'm not happy about what's going on. There's a minute 14 to go, and I'm usually behind everybody. My Pitt Panthers are down by 7 points to North Carolina in the ACC quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And they're one of these bubble teams, George, at 22-10. That, you know, a win over North Carolina and get to the finals of the ACC tournament, you probably have done enough to earn your way in.
Yeah,
you lose
mean, it's
in the semis,
right?
Yeah, everybody's like, all right, they had 22 wins, but oh, you know what?
Yeah, you're still a bubble team at that point.
Right.
But yeah, it's not looking good, Cappy.
No, it doesn't look good at all.
Yeah,
it does not.
But
look
I still
good
think you guys probably get in.
I don't know. I'm not so confident about that.
Yeah,
I wish I was more confident about it, but I'm not.
Yeah, I feel like the ACC gets mad disrespect. You know what I mean? Like, it's been the premier basketball conference in America for many, 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 many years.
It was. And
that was
maybe
a lot of many's.
Yeah, maybe it still is to some people, but I'll just to give you an example. You know, I follow San Diego State basketball also.
Right.
There's talk on ESPN through these bracketologists that the Mountain West could potentially have seven teams in the tournament.
Right, which
seven
is crazy, where the ACC crazy may only have like four or five.
Right,
right.
But
it's... I feel like they get punished for being like a tough conference. Like, meanwhile, the Big 12 gets rewarded for being a tough conference. I just don't understand it.
I don't know, man, but there's a minute and change to go, and I need somebody on Pitt to make a big run here. I need a couple of threes to go down.
That was hardcore bracketology talk.
That was, man. Hey, listen, that's
Joe Lenardi would be impressed with us.
Right. Thursday of next week, we're going to be island boys in Manhattan Beach, man. We're going to be
Have you been studying during these conference tournaments? Like, there's been blowouts in the SEC tournament today.
No, I haven't seen any of those. But, you know, I've been doing a bunch of scouting, as I've told you.
Including an upset. Mississippi State upset the number one team, Tennessee.
I did not know that. Although I did, I will say this, in talking to people that, you know a whole lot more about this and study it, you know, like I don't, people have told me, like, dude, don't buy into Tennessee this year. Tennessee is overrated. And I'm like, okay, well, I haven't seen him play and I don't know anything about him, but I'll take your advice.
Yeah, they got their doors blown off today. They didn't lead once in this game, and they were the one seed in the SEC tournament.
Wow.
Well, speaking
of
March
UCLA
Madness,
and USC kind of bowed out very quickly out of the Pac-12 tournament, and that's it. The Pac-12 is done for them. Dunzo. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cappy, speaking of islands and March Madness, you know where we're going to be next Thursday, right?
Yeah, we're going to be at the islands in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah. All day, live broadcast, starting with Travis and Sliwa at 10 o'clock, then Mason and Ireland, and then us until 7 p.m. And it's at Islands Restaurant in Manhattan Beach. That's 3200 North Sepulveda inside Manhattan Village. Like I said, starts at 10 with Travis and Sliwa, Mason and Ireland, and then us. And come press the flesh with us, as Christopher likes to say. Watch all the hoops and have your chance to win really cool prizes and, you know, like hang out with us. 710 is hitting the South Bay next Thursday, thanks to Islands Restaurants, your local paradise.
Island bye.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know who's coming, George? You know who's coming next Thursday?
Who?
My clothing designer, Zap.
Oh, Zap. I love Zap. Zap. Can you ask Zap to like design me like a cool bucket hat or something?
Talk to him. You can talk to him. He makes all kinds of fly clothes.
You should ask him.
Hey, DeAndre, you hear that?
Fly. Come on, man.
Fly, dog.
I mean, that was kind of like a word in the 80s.
Well, I know, but I have to teach this young fella.
Were you saying it's retro?
I'm saying it's fly AF.
Right.
Or fire. Do you say fire?
Oh, Cappy.
I say fire all the time.
Oh, Cappy. The Pitt Panthers are only down 4 with 54 seconds to go.
Hit that 3 from the corner.
They did hit a 3.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Do you want me to give you? I'm ahead of you, clearly, right?
Okay, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so you haven't even seen the 3 yet.
I just saw the 3 from the top of the key.
Okay, there you go. So now Carolina, they're pressing them. I don't know any of these players, so I'm just going to try to give you as best I can here. Carolina got, was there a travel? Or was there a timeout? Oh, timeout. I don't have the volume on, so I don't know. So Carolina called the timeout. Hubert Davis wanted a timeout, wanted to talk things over with his team because they were getting trapped. So 38.1 seconds to go. Carolina, the one seed, beating Cappy's Pitt Panthers by 4. And I didn't see how much was left on the shot clock. Let me see when they come back.
I think 14 seconds to go.
Yes, 14 seconds on the shot clock, correct. So there you go, Cappy.
Hey, rely on me as your color commentator, buddy.
I'm just, you know, I'm details.
How about some dueling Harlins real quick?
Oh, I don't know the players well enough to do that is the problem.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Here's what we'll do. We're going to take a quick break, Cappy. Okay. I do want to get to your other team, and I mean that facetiously, the Chargers, who have made a lot of moves. So we'll have that plus the okay, what are we doing here, then?
We combined the breaks, remember?
Oh, we did. Okay, I thought you said it was another 3 minutes earlier.
I didn't know we were combining the breaks. Nobody told me.
Yeah.
I'm always the last to know around here about break combinations.
Okay, so we're not breaking. So, Cappy, your team is back on the floor. They got to hold for another 14 seconds, and they need a miracle here. But this is when miracles happen in college basketball. It's March. Oh, an easy pass, and they foul the driver. Yeah, so Carolina will go. R.J. Davis will go to the free throw line. He's number 4. That's not good.
You know who the head basketball coach is at my alma mater, the University of Pittsburgh?
It was Capel, Jeff Capel.
Yeah,
Jeff Capel. He played for Duke.
Yeah, that's
right.
He had
a monster shot, like almost from half court against North Carolina one
time. Yeah, so you got these guys who were, you know, former ACC players who are now, and look at Capel, down on the ground, trying to hold it all together. Come on, guys.
You're not that far back from me, Cappy. You're only a few seconds behind.
Well, for me, I've got 36.3 seconds. And Carolina's going to the free throw line.
Well, they've already made the first free throw, so they're
okay,
on
so
a replay now.
So I'm kind of behind you.
Oh, man, they pummeled R.J. Davis. And, you know, come on. So they're going to need, it could be a 6-point game. So they're still not technically out of it.
Right.
Your team.
But we need a miracle. Right.
So 6-point game, they're going to inbound it because they only have one timeout left. They definitely need a 3 here. They get the screen. They pull up for 3. Short rebound Carolina. And Pitt has to foul. And, yeah, this one's pretty much going to be over soon. Yeah.
Hey, these guys play with a lot of heart. That's all you can ask for. You know, you just want your team to get out there, and you know, when you're going against the number one seed, You just gotta give it everything you got. And they had a lead in the first half.
Give it all you got.
Right. Give it all you got.
Remember that song?
I love that song. Give it all you got. Give it.
Now that's way too early for either Lindsay or.
I was gonna say I don't know that one.
Oh,
at all.
I know now that it's in my head. It goes like this: Get on the dance floor, let your body feel the heat. Get closer to the speakers, baby, so your feet can feel the beat.
Oh, I know
it. If you're in the move, get in the groove, and let me see your body move. Let's strip it up for a while. Break it down. Let's do it. Doggy style. Oh!
Give it all you got. Give it all you got.
Oh, DeAndre, you don't understand, bro. You don't get where I'm from, bro.
Where are you from?
I'm from the old school.
That sounded so cringe.
Do you remember
cringe.
The name of who sang that song, Cappy, in the 80s?
Afro-Rican.
Oh, you nailed it. You did get it.
Afro-Rican,
yeah.
What you know about that, Big D?
I don't know anything about
you
that.
You ain't know nothing about no Afro-Rican.
Now you need to find Afro-Rican. Give it all you got.
Yeah, give it all you got.
There we go. There it is.
Oh, I love this song.
Go pop and lock, Cappy.
Yeah. Oh, you know I'm popping right now.
Oh, this video is fantastic.
Oh, dude, it's Friday. It is so Friday, and we're into the last hour. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
I don't know this.
This song, is very 80s right here.
Oh, this song is...
A lot of songs, though, after the fact, did kind of sample from this song.
I just said that to DeAndre. I was like, I feel like I heard this in a lot of other songs.
Yeah, listen to my man Scratch.
Got some Mystical in there.
No, Mystical took it from Afro-Rican.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where he took it from them, obviously.
Afro-Rican was the man.
Mystical probably wasn't even born when this song came out.
Could have sworn that Black Eyed Peas, like, sampled this song.
They probably did. Oh, yeah. Listen up, y'all, because this is it.
Forget that
old dance. So, what's that song that they do, that one? Throw that is actually 2 Live Crew.
Well, hey, you know what? Happy birthday to Will.i.am today. How about that?
That is true.
Black Eyed Peas.
Man, all comes around. All comes full circle.
Yep, that's right.
Happy birthday to him. Cappy, the Chargers. So they
Fergalicious. Fergalicious.
Fergalicious. Fergalicious does have some of this in it.
Right.
So, Cappy, the Chargers.
I be up in the gym just working on my fitness. He my witness. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sorry.
The Chargers traded Keenan Allen, but they did re-sign both pass rushers, which you thought they'd all be gone.
Well,
and they waived Mike Williams as well, which that makes sense.
They did. Here's the thing. The Chargers, they're kind of like in the same boat, not exactly the same, but in a similar boat to the Broncos. The Broncos had no choice but to get rid of Russell Wilson because the coach he didn't want Russell Wilson. And the organization was like, well, wait a second. He's under this $250 million contract. What do you want us to do? Well, you guys put your money and your trust in me, right? Yeah, we did, Sean Payton. Okay, well, then guess what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for the long haul. We got to get rid of this quarterback. We got to take the hit on the cap now to clear this thing out so we can, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we can get back to championship caliber football. In the meantime, I'll do my best to coach these fools. Jim Harbaugh's in the same boat. The only difference is, he happens to have a premier quarterback. But the Chargers were so far over the cap. When you have Mike Williams, who can never stay healthy, Keenan Allen, who's now 32 years old, although coming off probably his most productive season of his entire career, you have Joey Bosa, who last year, he played 9 games. The year before, he played 5 games.
Right.
Joey Bosa's a halftime player because he can never stay healthy.
Last couple of years, he's definitely not been able to stay healthy. Right.
And Khalil Mack,
I think like the 3 previous, he might have played all 16, you know, every year. So
last year 9 games, and by the way, it probably would have been like 7 or 8, but he kept trying to come back, so I'll give him credit for that. Previous year, 2022, 5 games, and you're right, the year before that, he did play in 16 games. But you could not keep Mike Williams because the guy can never stay healthy. By the way, amazing player, can't stay healthy.
Right.
Keenan Allen, when they asked him to renegotiate his contract, Keenan Allen was like, no. No, I'm making my $30+ million because I don't have much time left. So they were like, okay, well, then guess what? We're trading you. Now, if you're the Chicago Bears, by the way, if you're going to get Caleb Williams.
That's a great guy to have in the locker room with him.
And if you're not going to get Caleb Williams and if you're going to stay with Justin Fields, that's another guy. He's a great guy to have on your team.
Regardless, he's a good guy to have in the locker room and he's very productive still to your point.
He is a total professional.
Yeah.
Total professional. Khalil Mack took a nice pay cut. Joey Bosa took a really nice pay cut. But Joey Bosa also kind of bet on himself. Hey, look, if I'm healthy and I produce, I'll make that money back. And a year from now, assuming I'm healthy and I performed, I'm getting all that money back. And if not, you guys are going to let me go and I'll go where I want to go.
Right.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So yeah, I mean,
they're not up the creek like you thought they would. You thought they were going to have to gut the whole roster.
Well, I mean, George, you let go of your top running back.
Back, most replaceable position in the sport.
And they've already gone out and tried to do that because they got the kid, what's his name, from right. Baltimore, Gus, right. Whatever his name is.
Gus Edwards. Well, Edwards is going to be kind of like a heavy package back. They'll probably add another back.
Right, but here's what they've done. That Keenan Allen was moved. He's your top producing wide receiver.
No doubt. Mike Williams, I think that's a net positive because to your point, he never played.
Okay.
They love Quentin Johnston, the kid they drafted out of TCU. Okay.
They do?
Yeah.
Boy, he didn't really give you a lot to love last year.
Okay. Well, he didn't have a lot to... he's a rookie wide receiver. Not all of them are going to pop right away. But I think that he's going to be a really productive player in the NFL.
Okay. And they got rid of tight end Gerald Everett.
Right. Well, he's always bounced around, though.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is that, look, the Chargers, they had no choice. You had four guys making over $30-plus million. It was all like $35 million each. They gave up on the two offensive guys. One guy's old, one guy's always hurt. On the defensive side, both guys were willing to renegotiate, so they stayed. Yeah, they may not be in as bad a situation as Denver because Denver doesn't have a quarterback, but, again, the Chargers now have to play the long game. In other words, do you think the Chargers are Super Bowl contenders because they just had Jim Harbaugh? Well, maybe year's roster.
But I think, we made a bet. Within 5 years, they'll make a Super Bowl appearance.
What was the bet? I don't remember.
I don't remember what the bet was, but I remember we talked about it, and I said within 5 years, and you thought I was crazy.
Well, I mean, listen, I just want to know what the bet is so that I don't say something and say that I'm going to do something that I don't want to have to do.
Well, I don't remember. We'd have to go back and kind of... I'm sure someone in the audience remembers.
Does anybody know? I didn't say anything dumb like, you know, hey, I'll shave my head. You know, I didn't say something stupid like that.
I don't
think
you did that, but, I mean, you usually do say some really dumb stuff.
I didn't say anything like, hey, I'll walk naked from L.A. to San Diego. I mean, I didn't say something stupid like that. I just want to make sure.
No, that one I probably would have remembered.
You said that you were going to stand in front of the mirror, or that you did stand in front of the mirror and say that you look good naked.
Yeah. Well, that's easy. I mean, that I can do, even though I might be lying to myself, you know?
But they're going to be good.
When?
I would say within, I mean, look, it could be sooner than five. I would say even three, potentially. They're going to be in the hunt.
Mm.
And why don't you think that they can be, like, good enough to be contending for a playoff spot this year?
Oh, no, they could be good enough to contend for a playoff spot. I mean, you have a quarterback. As long as you have a quarterback, you have a chance.
Right.
And as long as you can keep your quarterback healthy, you have a chance. Look, the Chargers had a child for a head coach because they're generally cheap and they want to control somebody. Now they have given up on that because they're like, look, we can't compete in this market if we don't have a real coach. We have to win to be relevant in L.A. No one in L.A. cares about us. When the Chargers were in San Diego, they could be 1-15, and everybody still went to the games, and everybody still loved the team. You can't do that in L.A. And so to compete in the L.A. marketplace, you have to win. So knowing that, they stopped being cheap when it came to head coaches. They went out and hired the best guy available, the biggest name available. They put the money into the guy, and now they're going to play the long game because he ain't going anywhere.
Right. As they should. Build it right.
So we will see. We will see what happens.
Yeah. A lot of breaking news today. Obviously, Aaron Donald, as we mentioned earlier, he is retired. So the Rams have a void to fill. We can get to that in just a moment as well. I want to potentially touch on how they do that. Plus, the Lakers. Is anyone taking them seriously right now? Like, I think that to your point, Cappy, you've been mentioning the roller coaster ride for so long. I just don't know how seriously you can take them as contenders. But regarding the Aaron Donald news today, of course, all our breaking news is brought to you by our friends at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Head to your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. So, Cappy, coming up next, you and I are going to dive into two things. How the Rams can try to fill a void, and they're obviously not going to fill the void completely because that's impossible. You're talking about an all-time great. But how they can try to piece this thing together to help their defense. And can we take the Lakers seriously, or are we just like holding on to, you know, a whim and a prayer here basically with them? But before that, Cappy, tell them about your new friends at California Cryobank.
Okay, so let's talk about California Cryobank. And I'm going to be just, now I'm going to get raw a little bit because now I've told you about them once. Now I'm going to tell you what I really want to tell you about them. So California Cryobank is looking for healthy young men between the ages of 19 and 38 to be sperm donors. So you can imagine the first time they come into 710 to visit, I'm like, wait a second, what? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, why? And they're like, because what happens is you have a lot of people out there that really want to start families and can't for a variety of reasons. And when you're young and you're healthy, you could be a donor and you could help these families. And I swear to God, all I asked about was one question. How much money? It's all I asked about. How much money? And you might want to know, why did I ask that? Because look, when we go to the softball game and there's a couple thousand people out there, we get to know each other. All right. When we go to the pickleball event, we get to know each other. When we put on live broadcasts, we all get to hang out together. I know you guys, okay? I know how expensive it is to live in Southern California. I know how hard it is out there to make money, okay? So I said to these guys, and there were two ladies, by the way, in the room, and I said, so can I go on the air and tell these guys, you can donate at the sperm bank, and hey, guys, you might as well get paid for what you're doing at home already. And they all laughed. They thought that was funny. Just, you can laugh too. It's okay. So look, guys, if you're between 19 and 38, if you're healthy, if you're able to work in the United States, you can make up to $1,500 a month and you can help people create families and live out their dreams. All you have to do is go to spermbank.com, spermbank.com, apply at spermbank.com and get paid for what you're doing on your own time already at the spermbank.com.